All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Rant Show. And I've got Dead Penetration here.
What's that?
And we're going to be talking about a couple of things. First of all, we're going to have Revy on next week to finish our conversation. I know we had to wait for the Halloween stuff. It's done. And Revy said he'll be prepared on Monday, next Monday, of course. So we'll have him for you there. And gotta promote SpinningRobotPussy.com. Go ahead and get one of those. Christmas is coming. And also, you got the Follow Me Eyes. Go ahead and check some of those out as well. Mm-hmm. Remember, Spinning Robot Pussy is a gift that keeps on giving. I heard some guys talking about it a couple days ago, so it still comes up in chats, and guys are still mentioning it. Definitely go ahead and give it a shot if you haven't. Okay, so with that out of the way, obviously, I've been a little under the weather. I mean, it happens around this time of year now because apparently my allergies get out of whack. This is something I never had happen before in my life, but it is what it is. And basically, to make things short, it's basically throat, my left ear, which I just learned is infected. So I went to the doctor, got some antibiotics. Hopefully that'll clear a lot of this shit. And maybe I can do it a little better next time. But I'm going to be taking those with my probiotic, of course. And hopefully be sounding a little better. So, by the way, I weighed myself. I'm still just 145 pounds. Yeah, I know. Crazy, right? But you're like, you got to eat carbs. Dude, all I eat is carbs. Everything I eat is carbs. So that's, you know, I eat all kinds of, I've been eating a lot of rice lately. A lot of rice. They've actually got this chicken rice, like at the deli, they make this chicken rice stuff they got now. Yeah, they got their deli packaged meals and the rice, it's good shit. I eat that.
I'm not eating it. They come out with something new.
Oh, yeah. I've been eating that kind of stuff. Like, oh, dude, I'll eat two of these. Most people are supposed to eat one and be like, I'm full. I'll eat two. No, I'm serious. Most people would eat one and be like, that's enough for me.
How much rest?
You get enough. You trust me, you get enough.
I could probably gourd myself.
You might, but I'm saying most normal people would only get about one. Because they're made for just one person. And you get plenty of rice. You do.
I hate when you go to a restaurant and they're like a serving size and it looks like a kid's meal.
Well, I know that. But I'm just saying for this particular meal, yeah, you get enough. I have to get two because I eat more than most people. And like I'll eat a whole sub and sometimes still be hungry. But, you know, that's just me. Some people like a sub will fill them up. It depends on your appetite. And my appetite is really fucking huge because I have a hyperactive thyroid. So that's what it is. And of course it causes me to not gain weight. So that's just something I deal with. And I'm not really trying to gain weight either because I like actually, it's like this. Gain weight or be able to eat all the things you want and not gain weight. I think I know what I want to choose. I'm not really worried about anything else. So,
you probably still have to worry about, arteries clogging and stuff.
Sure,
like that.
But I mean, it's
I've
not.
I've known plenty of skinny people that have had heart attacks.
Oh, I know that.
But, yeah, you don't have to worry about gaining weight, though.
Right. I mean, I didn't say. I mean, I still drink water and I drink my Coke without sugar. I always drink zero sugar Coke now.
I do my Coke in a mirror.
I drink the zero sugar Coke. I don't drink it that much, but it's when I need it. If I've got a long day at work like I've been having, I'll definitely grab one because it'll keep me going for a little bit. So I'll check that out. Because I don't drink coffee. I quit drinking coffee years ago, and it's helped my stomach a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I will never drink coffee again.
Huh.
Yep.
Mine's a seasonal. When it's cold enough to have hot drinks, I'll drink coffee.
I won't drink. I cannot touch it. That's just me. It messed me up bad. So, yeah, I just drink that for caffeine. You can't have an energy drink. All that other shit. It's not even the caffeine. It's all the other shit in there that fucks with me. That keeps me up all damn night and day.
That's wild.
Yeah. Like, if I drank one Celsius, it's 200 milligrams of caffeine. It's not even that. It's the shit that has it, that's got mixed in it. That shit will keep me up for about 2 or 3 days. And I was like, what? One energy drink? Yeah, that's what hyperactive thyroid does. Mm. So...
Meanwhile, I'm taking 2 of the highest dose Adderall energy drink.
Yeah.
And I'm in bed.
Right. And, right. Easily. Right. So, yeah. That's just what it does to me. But other than that, I don't think we're going to have a repeat of what happened. I mean, it's already past October and we're into November, so things are okay. Good thing we won't have a repeat of last fucking year. My God, that fucking year sucked. But it was the year of finding out my body and what I had to do to... But, you know, I don't even think it was necessarily my diet. I think it was the stress and working overnight.
Yeah.
The fact that they wouldn't let me work nights, they wouldn't bring me back onto the day shift. That was really fucking with me, because I had, well, the fact that they wouldn't let me work days again, that was really fucking with me. So, things have changed, they're a little bit different, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, aside from that, the only thing I guess we can really talk about is we've got an election this year. We've got an election this year in this country, and I know for some of you that might not mean a hell of a bean, but for us here in the United States, that's kind of a big deal, because we've got problems as big as those fucking monsters I'm fighting there.
Well, I mean, in other countries it does mean a lot, because some people's economy rests on what the U.S. is doing, too, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, the only thing I know is gonna pass is the one in my state, or I don't know, there's probably other states, but in my state particularly, they're gonna legalize recreational marijuana. I kind of want that, and I mean, not just so Grim can get high. Grim can do that whenever he wants to. I'm talking about Grim needs CBD gummies, and he wants to be able to go, you know, fairly close to go get them. I live pretty close to a dispensary, which is weird because it just happened to pop up there. And I can just walk across the area now and be like, okay, I'm ready. Let me go ahead and get some of these gummies, and I'll see how well they do with my anxiety. Or, you know, some people say they manage gastritis real well. So I'm like, oh, cool. So if I've got, because there's a therapist. I know so many therapists, but I don't have a therapist, but I know so many therapists. It's ridiculous. And the therapist tells me, she says, well, it works wonders on her gastritis. She says that's what really helps her. She says marijuana is what helps her. She's Canadian.
Would say whatever if you are voting, definitely look up the issues and look up
apparently
how they're worded, because some of them sound good. Like, we had, I think, 3 different... The only one I voted yes on was the marijuana, but the other 3 issues were basically saying that they wouldn't infringe on our rights that we already had through our state constitution unless they saw proper cause to do so, which would mean you're just giving them permission to decide whether they want to infringe on your rights or not.
Right.
So,
and that's kind of dangerous.
And you have to really look at how it's worded. Go on social media, look at the videos of people explaining the full issue, how it's written, because what's going to be on the ballot isn't necessarily how it's written out to be brought up into the election to vote for.
Right. In other words, there's a bunch of legalese on some of these, and it's really hard to, for the average voter to understand.
I know Biden, he's already putting doubt in people's heads, because he's like, no matter what the outcome, now y'all can't be getting mad and, revolting and all this. It sounds like they're going to try to pull a lot of what they did. And I know some people say that's the safest and most secure election. But if you see video footage and read documents, they also said Hunter Biden's laptop wasn't real. And now they're finally saying after elections, oh yeah. And that they're also coming forward and saying that there was tampering and all with, ballots and mail-in voting and all that, but they're not going to do anything about it,
right?
So definitely just be wary at who not. I'll just say this much: if Republicans don't get voted into office, I would be surprised, because there's nothing wrong with Democrats, but the new democracy they're trying to push is more socialism than it is democracy.
Oh yeah. Okay, and let me start. Okay, and I'm gonna go ahead and run through some articles. So the Daily Mail, well, we're just basically gonna talk about them. You may have heard about the TikToker Millie Ford, who revealed the struggles with dating apps. She's a Sydney, Australia TikToker, and of course she asks, "Where are all the good men?" I know a lot of people have ranted about this and talked about it, and I was like, I got called a Jew on by one of these white supremacists that looked at my face. And apparently, now here's what happened, guys. I was in an accident and my nose was broken in it. Sometimes when the nose grows back, it causes it to get a little larger sometimes, the bone in it, when it grows back. So it looks like I have kind of a Jew nose. And,
tolerant much?
Yay, hey. Look, the guys know where they're at. So
no,
I look like
I'm
have
Jewish
a Jew,
and I don't even have a big nose.
I know, but no, but that's what he saw. A Jew nose. This guy's he's a white extremist, though. Like, he really is, like, a real white supremacist dude. And he's like, oh, it's like you're definitely Jewish or whatever. And like, I was like, well, okay. So if I'm a internet Jew, I'll tell you what happened to all the good men. See, this is our Jew plan. We've got them all in a bunker somewhere east of Colorado. And we've got them all locked. They're locked real tight. You can't get in there. And they're on a diet of grain and water. That's all they're allowed to have, is grain and water. These are all the good men. We've rounded them all up. We've caged them. You'll never find them. It's deep in the fucking desert. You know, we didn't go in the areas of Colorado where there are, people about. We went way out the fuck nowhere. So, yeah. That in the fucking Rockies. In the Rockies. Over there in the goddamn, near the mountains. That's where this shit is. You're never gonna find them. Those mountains are huge. But, lady, if you think you can go find out where we've got all the good men, you're welcome to get an expedition party out there and see if you can find them. I can see you. I can see her now with her little hard hat on with the light and all that. Ah, where are all these good men? I hear they're in a bunker. We will save you. We know where you are. It's like, just say something. I'm looking for a good man. I'll do anything at this point.
Yeah.
So, that's where all the good men are. They're in our bunker, and you're never going to find them.
One of my cousins from Colorado, and my brother, she's a hardcore Democrat, and he likes to stir the pot on social media every once in a while.
You talked about this already.
Oh, yeah, about abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you covered that one. All right, so we got a Sports Illustrated model that doesn't really believe in straight people. Yeah.
Is she a trans?
No.
Because they are starting to put those
I
in
know.
There. I feel like Emily, it's the wrong target audience.
Emily Ratajkowski says she doesn't really believe in straight people after recently filing for divorce from husband film producer Sebastian Bear McLard. She's a 31-year-old model. She made comments during a wide-ranging interview for Harper's Bazaar when she was asked about a recent TikTok in which it appears she was identifying as bisexual. I think sexuality is on a sliding scale. I don't really believe in straight people.
It's just mainstream.
My girlfriend came over and was like, "Bitch, have you seen the green couch thing?" And she added, "She was laughing at me because my green couch is so big. I want to be able to have fun with how I present myself in the world without feeling like I'm a bad feminist or a good feminist." Ratajkowski continued, "Duh, I don't want to be part of your club. If you don't want to have me, it's fine." And TikTok, the swimsuit model revealed she owned a green velvet couch in response to a meme claiming that ownership of a green couch means one identifies as bisexual, according to Page Six.
Huh,
in September, the activist model filed for divorce from Bear McLard after 4 years of marriage. They share a one-year-old son, as Page Six noted. That kid's fucked.
Oh, yeah.
At one point in the Harper's Bazaar article, Ratajkowski admitted she feels anger over the divorce after Bear McLard reportedly cheated on her. "I can tell you that I have never been single before," the model shared. "I feel all the emotions. I feel anger, sadness, excitement, joy, levity. Every day is different. The only good thing I know is that I'm feeling all those things, which is nice because I believe it, because it makes me believe I'll be okay." Even though Ratajkowski didn't want to talk about her divorce, she did confirm reports she's dating again. "I've gone on dates," noting that she's steering clear of dating apps for now. But give me time.
Yeah. That's who she is. She's the girl in that Robin Thicke music video that he did on the MTV Music Awards with Miley Cyrus grinding on him.
Right.
Well, the music video's her hanging on him.
Okay. Okay, so we have Netflix renewing The Sandman for season 2. I am kind of looking forward to that. Fantastic Beasts 4 and 5 and Harry Potter spinoffs have been stalled. Because the third one did so bad, you know, Justice for Johnny, which he actually thanked everybody for today. He left a statement. Vice reported that women are getting blamed for their own online harassment. And it was called, like, the digital short skirt phenomenon. I don't know. It's not great. There was a woman that was trying to recruit young boys as pay piggies in a 13-plus Discord server. She posted a pic of herself licking her foot, and the mods caught wind of it. And they said, "Your profile picture is inappropriate for our 13-plus server. Please change within 2 hours to avoid further moderator action." Well, you're not supposed to be an adult posting pictures of you sexually licking your feet in a server full of young 13-year-olds.
That just doesn't seem like a very good pose to look sexually.
Well,
that's like the lick your elbow challenge. Like,
no.
There's no way you can look sophisticated doing it.
No, she was doing... It's not being sophisticated. She was... It's
or
a
sexual.
It's a sexual thing.
Yeah.
I mean, look. There's the image. That's what they wanted her to change.
That just looks retarded.
Well, that's what she wanted to do, and it went a lot of... I actually posted that with on my social media, and some other women saw it and immediately said, "Yeah, this is a groomer. You know, it's bad." Because they said, and of course the guys are saying, well, what's more horny than a 13-year-old? Fucking teenage kids. Like, yeah, you're right, but that doesn't make it right. Okay, so infladating is making cheap dates trendy. Listen to this. New York Post says, singles can expect cheap new dates in the new year. Think infladating or infladating, a term coined by dating app Plenty of Fish that means going on less expensive dates in the age of inflation due to the rising cost of living from food and drinks to gas, clothes, and other everyday expenses. Mm. Steep 48% of single millennials and Gen Zers suggested going on more budget-friendly dates in a survey of 8,000 Plenty of Fish users for its annual dating trends list. It's not surprising considering consumer prices surged 8.2% over the year in September. The sticker shock is enough to make flirting happen in more frugal ambience, and in a city like New York where a humble burger and fries can cost $50 after a tax and tip. Damn.
That's ridiculous.
Walk in the park or stroll on the beach is more economically feasible. With the uncertain economic future dominating headlines, singles are feeling the financial pressure, so it's not surprising that infladating or taking someone on a less expensive, budget-friendly date will be much more prevalent in 2023. Kate McLean, a dating expert at Plenty of Fish, told the Post in a statement, noting that despite these financial concerns, singles are becoming more resourceful with affordable dates. Indeed, yearly dating costs shot up about $3,030 in 2022 compared with $2,375 in 2021, according to data from GoBankingRates.com. Mm-hmm. Having drinks went up from to $554 this year from $478. Casual entertainment for seeing a movie or show is up to $3,568 from $2,909. Hmm. And to save time and money, there's a relationship expert, Bella Gandhi, that says doing a video call first. Yeah. Do a 30-minute max video date with a glass of wine or a cup of coffee. If they refuse to do it, it's a red flag. Then for a frugal in-person date, Gandhi says, it's important to calculate your own dating budget and not go a cent above it. If you're someone who can't afford the date, suggest a free activity. If $50 is feasible, keep that number in mind when picking a restaurant or coffee shop. A simple walk in the park can go a long way in terms of getting to know someone without breaking the bank, Gandhi said. I'm sorry, when I saw Gandhi, I totally thought, like, that Gandhi.
Well, I remember in, I want to say, maybe before 2000s, when I was in high school, a day, like $50, mm-hmm. that was dinner, a movie, gas to get there, probably, I don't know.
There's also something else. Now, this is interesting. Pay very close attention, guys, because this involves us. Another potentially cost-effective trend is that Plenty of Fish survey pulled is main character energy. Now, this is something new, and you guys can say about it what you want, but I'm going to give you this term again, main character energy, or the concept of focusing on yourself instead of wasting time on people who don't meet your standards.
Yeah.
A lot of people would say self-actualization is that.
I would say have a personality.
I'm not talking about that.
That
though.
Seems like the survey it's explains close to focus on yourself.
Focus on you. Well, no. It's not even that. It's just focus on yourself instead of wasting time on people who don't meet your standards. Well, I mean, the meeting your standards thing is the issue because a lot of people's standards are far too high.
Oh yeah.
And that's why they're not working. But as far as relationships, anyway. Nearly half of singles surveyed, 49%, say they vow to put themselves first. Wow.
Yeah.
While 32% of single men surveyed said they've been rejected by a date who said they wanted to focus on themselves. Millennials and Gen Z are going into debt from dating, know how much you make and how much you spend. So it sounds like to me that they're trying to do a self-actualization deal because it's just too fucking expensive to be looking for people right now. And that's going to continue. We're going to have way more people that aren't dating. Because it's just going to be too expensive for that shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Or you could do something like, I think I've taken a girl hunting one time. I've gone fishing, gone hiking.
Yeah, but not, you gotta understand, that's not very common with women. There, I mean, here maybe in this area, but if you're talking about like a woman in the city, they're not, you won't find too many of them that are, yeah. So it really depends on where you're at.
A lot of them,
they might
just have their money, and then when they go out, it's usually your money.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But, some of my friends are pretty good-looking women. They like to
this area, though. We're talking about somewhere like New York.
Yeah.
Somewhere like California.
Well, they have...
sure they do,
places
but
outside
it's
of Manhattan.
Outside, yeah, but we're talking
several.
About guys that want to date in Miami, guys that want to date in, you know, a lot of people don't come to this part of the country to date.
I don't go to another part of the country to date.
Yeah, they do. People will go to Miami, people will go to California, people will go to New York. Not California, but, you know, did go to California, but they'll go to New York, they'll go to Dubai. They'll go to a bunch of other places like that. You probably won't find a lot of the hunting and fishing girls down there. That's probably not... that's more this area.
Well,
so if you live in the South, you'll like...
closer to the apocalypse.
Well, I know
I
that.
I think I'm going up in value every day.
Yeah, maybe. So there is one other thing. There is, hold on. Live show, guys, so it is what it is. I think, man, he's done posted everything. Okay. No, I guess he didn't. I don't know where he's been posting. Maybe in general? Oh yeah, Sonic Frontier has come out, and Yoshken's actually doing it live right now. Of course, by the time this goes up, it will be like a couple days, but I played a little bit of it. I like it. I think it's the best Sonic game in recent memory, and I do mean recent memory, since, I guess, Generations? Because I didn't like Forces at all. Forces was 2.5 hours, if that, and I didn't feel like anything really happened. But the only thing I'll really say that I thought was weird about this game is it mixes two games together. Because you have the first world, which is the Chronos Island, and I think that's the name of it, Chronos Island. And when you're there, you basically have to do like a Breath of the Wild slash Shadow of the Colossus slash Ico or Ico slash maybe even Elden Ring-ish. Not so much in difficulty, but it just kind of feels that way. It has a very Shadow of the Colossus kind of feel to it. You do, you know, level up, get new abilities, and it feels definitely more like an RPG. It's more mature. They're using a deep voice Sonic this time. The characters, according to a review, they talk a lot about death and, wanting to make sure that their lives are complete before they die. Pretty hardcore stuff for a Sonic game. They said they take the story very seriously, too. The game... soundtrack is very calming. It doesn't sound like it belongs in a Sonic game at all. It feels like Sonic Pure Moods or something. It's really odd for a Sonic game. And the weirdest thing about the whole thing is that you have this, these stages that you go into the digital world. And when you go into the digital world, they're just regular Sonic stages that could have been put in any Sonic game ever. They actually look like they were cast-offs from other games that didn't get put in. Like, you go in Green Hill. Like, you start in a regular Green Hill that's just there. It could be a Green Hill in Generations. It could be a Green Hill in Forces. It could be a Green Hill in, you know, insert Sonic game here. It literally feels that way. And then you have a Mystic Palace area. By the way, I don't think they call them that unless you can look at the map or something when you play them. But yeah, they play just the same as any old regular Sonic stage. And it says 1-1, and then it'll be 1-2. And I'm like, okay, what the fuck are they even really doing here? Because the Sonic stuff is here, but when we're not doing that, we're running around the map and we're fighting robots in a Shadow of the Colossus style. But we're not actually, you know, we're not actually doing anything.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, well, no, I'm not saying that. We're not actually doing, like, Sonic stuff. Like, when people play a Sonic game, they want more of what the digital world offers, which is literally Sonic-based high-speed gameplay. And you're really not getting a high-speed gameplay when you're playing the map, the overworld map. Because the overworld map, you know, where you're running around and you're... And this is one of the early reviewers had this problem. And I totally get what they're going for. A more kind of mysterious, all kinds of puzzles in the ruins. And we don't really know much about these enemies and these weird robots. And then all of a sudden you go back in the digital world and, oh wow, it's Sonic with Robotnik again. So it's like, what the fuck? You guys could have just made this a thing and then just gone in and took all this other shit. If the game failed, like, here's my idea. This would have been perfect. A lot of people would have called it damage control, but here's my thing. You could have just gone ahead and made this game what it was. Like, no digital world at all. You just play it as it is. Like, going through the area, Shadow of the Colossus style, doing puzzles and shit like that. And take all the shit that's like digital world, all the 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, I don't know how many stages there are of those, but you could have slapped all those together, put Sonic Generations 2 on it, or, you know, something like that. Because all they are is revisits of classic stages. That's literally it. Because we went to Green Hill. We went to Mystic Palace. I'm like, dude, what's next? Fucking Hilltop Zone? Fucking, are we going to go back to Scrap Brain? And it's like, shit, how far are they going to take us? So, I'm kind of more interested in those stages. The horrible thing is they're short. They're very, very short stages, and it feels, and they're on rails, you know, most often. But a lot of people would say, well, yeah, most of the original Sonic games were on rails, in a way. You could go down a little more, and you could find some special stuff down or special stuff up, which is cool. But here, there's really not too much places to go. I mean, these could be in colors. These are just regular old Sonic retreads, and they're really weird to see. It's like, why would you take these classic best of stages and throw them in the middle of this game where they really don't have a point? Like, you could have, again, if there's like 20 of these boards, you could have threw them all together, made a whole separate game in 2023, Sonic Generations 2. You know, take all your shit, put it together. It's like, you didn't get enough it literally feels like it was DLC content for another game. It feels like it might have been for Forces, but Forces did so bad, they scrapped it all, and they decided to throw it all in this game. And I think that's really what happened, because they meant to have those as DLC. They feel like Forces stages. That's the funny thing. And again, they just threw them in this game, and it's just like, what? It's like, you have to work real hard. You have to fight the robots in order to get the gears to put into the little ruin machine in order to open up a portal so that you can actually play the Sonic stages. And a lot of people are really going to be bitching about this. I think it's going to hit hard when the game reviews come out. Because I know people are giving it 9s and 10s and stuff, but the only issue that they're going to really say is, okay, you get this weird kind of experimental Sonic game, but you get all these classic Sonic that people know and love that you have to work for. It's like you have to work for the game you want to play.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's what it feels like. I mean, not that the game they have is a bad one, but I don't know if I would like Sonic Frontiers if it was just the Frontiers. If it was just the open, which isn't very open, by the way. It's very locked, especially, at least in the beginning. I know that you see footage where he's going in all these different areas, but what I saw was a lot of locked doors, guys. And in order to get those locked doors, you had to, you know, complete the puzzles and things. So, I mean, it's fun, but I, you know, again, I don't like a game that I have to work for to play the fun parts.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Should it all be fun?
Now, some people might, like, oh, this is kind of Sonic Adventure-y. And yeah, it is. Okay, Sonic is literally going on an adventure at this time. There's no towns or anything like that. But if you want something that's a more mature storyline that isn't post-apocalyptic or whatever the fuck they were doing in Sonic Forces, this is way better. It's the best Sonic game we've had in a long time, but it still needs some work. And I think people are gonna really start to get upset when they're like, oh my god. So the stages I want to play, the stages I love from Sonic, that I could probably play in the Sonic Worlds engine, hint, hint, basically, I have to fight for. And people are going to say, well, you know what? I've got a computer. I don't have $60 to spend on this. So why don't I just go ahead and download the Sonic Worlds engine, which had a brand new update as of Sage. So it's going to look good. It's going to have new levels. It's going to have custom levels. And it's going to have that classic Sonic gameplay that I love. But it's also going to allow me to have longer stages, like different kinds of things that I'll be doing in there. So I won't just be, like, again, some of the stages felt like they were over within a minute. And I'm like, oh, that's not fun. But if you play the World's Engine, you get to play them, you know, much longer. There's all kinds of things that you can do in the stages. So, the Sonic Worlds engine is free, guys. You know, Sage 2022, you can probably just go right over there into their forum, download it. I think it's on Mega. I think it's control. I mean, I haven't played it in a long time, but that means it's got so many updates and characters and mods you can add. And if you really gotta have that classic, like, gotta go fast Sonic gameplay, and you don't want to have to go through the Shadow of the Colossus kind of stuff and the puzzles, you'll love Sonic Worlds. That's what's gonna be fun for you. So I definitely recommend that you give that one a go, because that's gonna be where the fun is. But, alright, guys. I think that might be all. I mean, the only thing I needed to really talk about other than that was, I mean, the white people are being banned from Wakanda forever, but that, I mean, that's normal for these woke, these black woke scolds that we have. So, it's whatever. At any rate, I guess this will be the Grim Lord, and I'm out for Grimm's, the Grim Rant Show. And we'll see you next time with more rants.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.